Why doesn't God do something? We carry this question in our hearts more than we'd like to admit. Anyone who has faced cancer themselves, or even more so in a loved one, has at least heard this question whisper in the back of their minds. With every natural disaster we face, the question arises how God could let something like this happen. Anyone who reads history and has even the least bit of compassion has to ask this question. I suspect it is with us today more than usual as a pandemic rages around us, as racial injustice raises its ugly head, and as the economic inequality that plagues the United States of America stares us in the face. Everyone who is willing to face this question honestly risks conversion, not to a new faith or to atheism, but to a new and deeper way of looking at God and how God works in our lives. The old view of God that we usually use in our society and in most of its religious language no longer works when this question raises its head. The reasons for this are several. Our view of the world is too secular. There is too little room in it for God to work. Science, which usually describes the world for us, is a wonderful thing. It does great things. But when it is our only way, or our primary way of viewing reality, our sense of things becomes too shallow. Secondly, this way of looking at God moves God outside our world of normal experience. The action of God is reduced to the miraculous, the unusual, or the strange. And thirdly, the view of God in our world today sees God way too much in terms of the singular. Just listen to our language for God and the pronouns that we use. He, or possibly she, is usually the subject of the sentence. Whereas the Christian view of God is that God is threefold. Most of our language about God today is missing the great Christian insight that we celebrate on this feast of the Holy Trinity, that God is a communion of three persons. To get in touch with God at work in the world today, I would invite us all into the question, why doesn't God do something? Face it honestly, and think beyond it about how God is at work in our world today as a trinity of persons. I invite you into a conversion in how we think about God. To sense how God is at work in the world today, we must begin with the Holy Spirit, the gift that is given to us in our baptism, but which really moves throughout all of creation. We must recognize that the Spirit is with us in every moment of our lives. It's much like our breathing. In fact, the Holy Spirit is closer to us in every moment than the breaths we take. In fact, those of you who might know a little bit of Hebrew would recognize that the word ruach can be translated both as our breath and as the Spirit of God. Her role in the work of God is to open the future for us. She invites us into that future. She draws us. She entices us. And then she gives us the gifts we need to walk into that future. She gives us the gift of imagination to see that something else is possible than the world that is before us today. She inspires leaders with a sense of justice and wisdom. She inspires us with faith and hope to trust the vision of the prophets and Jesus' vision of the kingdom of God. She bestows on us the courage to walk into that future. She gives us the gentleness and love we need to bring others with us into the kingdom of God. The problem with hearing the Spirit at work in our lives is that she builds on our own natural gifts. My career in life was as a theologian, and there we can make a clear distinction between supernatural gifts like faith, hope, and charity, and the natural gifts we have. But in our everyday lives, the clear theological line between those is very hard to find. For instance, who can tell where the love that a father and mother have for their children, a good natural love, leaves off, and they are carried by the love of God that is the Holy Spirit? Who can tell where the wisdom and knowledge of a good teacher leaves off, and the wisdom and the knowledge that are the gifts of the Spirit carries him or her? Who can tell where the hard work of a scientist leaves off and the inspiration of the Spirit begins to help them see the world in a new way? Who can tell where a leader's sense of justice leaves off and the vision of God's kingdom begins to carry us as we try to reform society? The work of the Spirit is hard to discern, and yet we make it clear in the celebration of the Eucharist. Just before we move into the consecration, the priests say, "Lord, send your Spirit upon these gifts that they may become for us." And the body and blood of Christ become present. A little later in the Eucharistic prayer, after the consecration, we pray to the Father, "Send your Spirit upon us that we might become one body, one Spirit in Christ." The liturgy helps us see the movement of the Spirit. And when the Spirit moves in us, then the Word of God begins to work. It is in the Eucharist that we begin to see how the second person of the Trinity, the Son, is at work in our midst. Over and over in the Eucharistic prayer, we keep telling ourselves what the central mystery of our faith is. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We hear it as we move towards the consecration, and we say, when the night before he gave his life for us, on the night before he died, and then in the consecration we repeat it, "This is my body which will be given up for you. This is my blood which will be shed for you." We hear it in the acclamation right afterwards. "We proclaim your death, O Lord." And then we hear it in the prayer that follows. "And so, Father, we, your people and ministers, remember Jesus' death and resurrection." The problem we have with seeing how the Son is at work in our world is that we separate the sacrifice of the cross and the sacrifice of the Eucharist, which are one, from the sacrifice Jesus made every day in his life. He sacrificed his life. He lived for others every day, healing, forgiving, welcoming, celebrating, teaching, feeding. Even his birth, St. Luke tells us in his birth narrative that his parents laid him in a manger where the flock comes to feed. Even as a baby, he's there to care for us. We need to expand our vision to see the sacrifice of Christ at work all around us. It's taking place in the people who are on the front lines fighting the virus, not just the doctors and nurses, but in all those people who work in the hospital performing all those everyday tasks that need to be done. We see it in parents and spouses and children as they live in a proximity that family life was not really meant to impose. We see it in protesters who risk injury marching for justice. We see it in the police who keep chaos at bay. We see it in the church and the work of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. We see it in Catholic charities working in our diocese. And around the world, the Word of God is moving in us as we care for people in the work of the Catholic relief services. The offering of Christ that we celebrate on the altar is being lived constantly in the world around us. And we place it on the altar when we say, after the consecration, "We too offer you this one holy sacrifice." Finally, we turn to the mystery of the Father, the mystery at the heart of it all. The Father is the source of everything it is, the goal to which everything longs to return. Before the Father, we can say nothing, but simply worship in silence. There is a beautiful passage Saint Bonaventure has at the end of his mystical work, The Itinerarium. And there he says something like this. This is a loose translation, but he says, "Now the mind must stop. Now we have to listen to the heart. We don't need the teacher, we need the lover. We don't need knowledge, we need love. We don't need light, which was the symbol in the Middle Ages for knowledge. We need the fire of God's love burning within us." The trouble we have sensing this mystery that is at the heart of creation and the heart of life is that our vision is too shallow. Our primary ways of seeing the world are given to us by science and economics, but they only touch the surface of things. They can't get below. They can't get to the depth of reality, the depths of life, and the depths of creation. To get below the surface, we need poets and artists, seers and prophets. To get to that depth, we need prayer and liturgy. Now the mind must stop. Now we must listen for the deep whispers that lie below the depths. We need to sense the breeze that brushes against us, and beneath it, feel the touch of God. We need to listen to the songs of the birds in this springtime and hear the word of God's love for life. We need to see the strength of the mountains and sense the power of God in creation. We need to feel the power of human love and community, and through it, enter into the communion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why doesn't God do something? Listen to the question and open your eyes, your ears, and your hearts to the work of God all around us.